Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to another one of these. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rines, Dylan Reed, America's team. We're back once again in the middle of training camp. Started this week, the Cowboys. Lots to talk about, and let's just dive right into it because this week and pretty much the week before, we heard a lot about the running back market and how the running backs were upset with what they were not getting paid. This all comes because we saw Saquon Barkley, who eventually signed. He was given the franchise tag, didn't like that, wasn't going to report. Then you had Josh Jacobs in Vegas saying that he's not going to report, and he still hasn't. We've also seen other running backs just not getting deals that you thought that they would. Cooks is making the rounds right now. Zeke Elliott, who is, no matter what you think of him, is a name. He's not getting any offers. Few running backs out there that are just not getting any offers. And then we have our guy, Tony Pollard, who is on the franchise tag. He's the only one that seems content to play under it this year. So I ask you, does this concern you about Tony Pollard and the running back situation? Do you think that the Cowboys are thinking a long-term deal with Pollard? I'll start with you, Dylan Reed.
You know, it pains me to say it because I love Tony Pollard, and I think he brings a lot to the table, and I think that he actually is one of those people, like a Christian McCaffrey, that could maybe sell himself at the, you know, deal table as a offensive weapon, right?
Yeah, be slot like, receiver.
Yeah, kind of be like, hey, I'm not just a running back. I'm so much more than that. I'm a receiver, too. Whatever kind of language you need to sell to the team in order to actually, you know, get a better deal. But do I think the Cowboys are actually going to be interested in signing him long term? Only if it's at, I mean, way less than he's making now. Only if it's at, like, I don't know,
like 7 to 8.
Yeah, 7 to 8, maybe even 6.5 or something. It's like, which, I mean, I guess that's good money in the current market we're at. But I mean, that's not what Tony's making now. And will he? Could he get more in the open market? Possibly. I don't know. I think that they'll offer him a contract. It won't be that lucrative. It'll be, I mean, less than he's making now on the franchise tag. And I mean, frankly, Tony will probably walk. I mean, I don't see him being a running back for the Cowboys going forward beyond just this year, and that sucks. And I don't think that Deuce Vaughn's going to suddenly be the starter either, so they're going to be looking for a running back. Yeah, as soon as next year.
If they do offer him, Tristan, a contract, do you think it comes at some point in the season, maybe training camp? Or are they just going to wait till after the season to do something or anything at all?
I mean, it's a tough question, right? You've got this guy coming off of his leg injury. Obviously, he's reporting he's fine from all the reports we have seen. But it's kind of a tough thing. A lot of times teams like to get these things over with, done with, before training camps have started, and they've just failed to do that. I think both sides have come to the table and realized we're just not going to find a deal that we're going to both be happy with at this stage. They may make something work, maybe closer to like week 6 in the NFL season, but I think if you're Tony Pollard, it's a little bit of a risk. right? You're walking in, you're trying to have good faith. I'm this versatile weapon. I am your feature running back. But let's say he doesn't quite put up that production that they're expecting, right? That would warrant a $11 million a year that he's already playing under with the franchise tag. Tony Pollard's taking a risk in this situation. The Cowboys, if he wants $10 million more, we go look for somebody else. It's unfortunate
to be.
What
they did with Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. I mean, it's an unfortunate reality that in today's NFL, you are, at least being a running back, man, it's just not your time. You just came in at the wrong decade to be a feature NFL star running back. If you look around the rest of the league, I wanted to at least bring this up. You just watched the Kansas City Chiefs, with all due respect, win the Super Bowl with a guy they drafted as a rookie out of the sixth round.
Yep.
Right. I mean, incredibly talented. I love Isaiah Pacheco, but guys like Saquon Barkley, right? Easily, he brought this up in an interview. If without me on that offense, not the same offense in the slightest. He is the playmaker for that offense, and he got, what, $11 million and maybe a $2 million incentive?
One year, yeah.
Yeah, in 1 year, exactly. Couldn't even get multi-year.
Look, it's bottom rough. Line, the Cowboys are not going to touch Tony Pollard again. I don't care what kind of production he puts up, unless, as Dylan said, he's willing to go way less. I think that they're still thinking about what happened to Ezekiel Elliott, and they don't want that on their... That was an albatross on their necks for almost three seasons, and he was not anywhere close to worth it. I know they're different players, but you as mentioned, the running back market isn't the same. People don't use running backs in the same manner. They only last for about 3-4 years, and it's that... It's old thing. I know we had talked about this before off the air. There is a playbook with running backs. You draft them, you get them at their rookie contract, make them really good, franchise them one year, then you get rid of them and draft a running back.
And that's it.
So many successful teams around the league have done it. The Eagles have done it. The Chiefs have done it. There hasn't really been a really great back to win a Super Bowl in a while now.
I mean, I can't even remember...
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't even know.
When you talk about Saquon Barkley, he was involved in 40% of the offensive plays.
Yeah.
And that was also happens to be one of the worst offenses in football in the last several years. And I'm not saying that they had any other options really that were better, but that's just the nature of the beast right now. Do I think the market will change eventually? Yes. All these things go through it. I remember at one point the linebackers where you had to have a great linebacker or else
you
weren't. Now it's the safeties. And those guys used to be disregarded. A safety, why do you really need a safety? Just give it a linebacker. And then it used to be always on the defensive line. The defensive lines are being, they're going to make the secondary look better. Now secondary plays, like we mentioned and we're going to mention with Trayvon Diggs, these guys are getting big time money. So it's the nature of the beast. These things go through kind of motions. Right now, the running back motion, the only thing that isn't ever going to be affected is a quarterback.
Yeah, that's only going one direction.
The only one up.
It's the only position that only goes up.
We're going to see two guys in Nick Bosa and Micah Parsons going to reset the defensive side of things.
Oh, this can be big contracts.
And then we're going to see how things go from there. But it always, we even mentioned this, even with the quarterbacks, you saw two guys in Danny Dimes, and what was it, the other one, Cousins, I believe? No, the guy from Seattle, Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
Neither one of those guys broke the bank. They got great money, but they didn't break the bank. They're second tier money-making quarterbacks,
and that's fine.
That's okay, which is crazy to say
because Daniel Jones is averaging $45 million dollars a year, being a second-rate quarterback in the NFL
right now. I get it. I get why Saquon would be pissed when he sees that, but that's just the nature of this
game. Like a direct question, let's look at the in-division rival, the Giants, right? Who had a bigger impact on that offense last year? Directly. Like, Daniel Jones had probably the best year of his career, but if you don't have Saquon Jones, or Barkley, excuse me, they don't make the playoffs, and they certainly don't beat the Vikings in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, like,
it's an unfortunate time to be an NFL running back.
It really is. Well, I think what we were talking about, I think there's one way out for the running backs.
It's got to be the weapon, offensive weapon.
The CMC Tony Pollard mold. You've got to be able to line up in the slot. You got to be able to say, I can catch some over the middle. I can go deep if you need me to.
Like routes, not like wheel.
The other aspect that I don't know if we've touched on quite yet either, though, is longevity. These are guys who are getting the ball 20, heck, maybe sometimes 30 times a game, man.
Especially with Zeke, a ton of touches, dude.
And that's part of why their longevity is so short.
And those are the only ones that we're talking about that are every down backs.
Yeah.
And this is why most teams, teams are employing the three-back system.
Yeah.
San Francisco did this a
lot.
The
commodity backfield,
where you got
your
three
team.
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
doing that forever.
Look even at Miami right now. They got Mostert, Jeff Wilson.
Yep.
And it's like, really? You're going to go to battle with these guys? But they'll probably do okay with them as long as you have a pretty decent scheme and a good offensive line. So it's unfortunate that that's one of the positions that is taking the brunt of it. But one of the positions that's definitely looking up is that secondary, as I mentioned, cornerback. And that brings us to the big signing for the Cowboys this week. Number 7 is going to be with the Cowboys for at least another 5 years. $97 million total if he hits everything. Could be even more from what I understand. But either way, Trayvon Diggs is going to be staying with the Cowboys for a while. What was your reaction to this signing? I'll start with you, Tristan, because I thought that this one may take a while. I thought he was going to dig his heels in and say, I want to be the kind of market-setting cornerback.
Yeah.
I was really surprised the Cowboys got such a great deal for him.
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you on that. I really didn't expect Diggs to be the first domino to fall. Mm-hmm. Dylan and I, about a month ago now, we talked heavily on contracts for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Sorry, man. But we talked about Micah Parsons, and we talked about Diggs, and we talked about restructuring Dak and CeeDee, and both of us had felt like Diggs was the last guy on that run, potentially.
Exactly.
But cornerback play is so important in today's NFL. If I was a guessing, if I was a betting man, which I'm not really a better, I would say Mike is probably the next big domino to fall here, with all due respect. Not that CeeDee doesn't have any,
importance.
Importance, but, yeah. That guy's going to reset the market, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's part of what makes Diggs so successful. And tandeming these guys together, I think, is just going to be a match made in heaven for the Cowboys defense moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at this, I think everybody was really surprised. The Cowboys got a great deal here.
Right.
This wasn't something we're talking about with 19 average a year. He's not even making 20. He's really going to not be the cap hit that I thought he would be. So I was really surprised that the Cowboys got this kind of deal for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like Tristan literally just mentioned there. You've got to assume that a part of Diggs maybe not making, because like we kind of all thought, I thought Diggs would want 25 a year because I just simply thought that he would want to be the highest paid corner and reset the market. But maybe the Cowboys were obviously able to get into the room, convince him not to be that guy, and they can take that little bit extra money and make Micah the next guy. Because I really do, and I've been thinking about this over the last couple of weeks. I know that everyone thinks that Joey Bosa's deal will be what dictates Parsons' deal. But I think if the Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
But I think if the Cowboys are smart about this, you need to get in front of the Bosa deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever Bosa makes, Micah's going to want more. So now what you do is you make Micah the highest paid pass rusher right now, and then let Bosa play off of that. Let your deal be the catalyst,
And I'm sure the agents are both looking at said organizations going, all right, whoever moves first, man.
It's a stalemate.
It's an agent organization stalemate between the Bosa, Parsons, and whoever.
Who's
going to
move first?
It's kind of what many people thought happened this week with the Justin Herbert agents and the Joey B agents.
Mm-hmm.
When Justin Herbert signed his deal, and Joey is the next dominant
ball.
Yeah,
you would assume.
So you assume that what is Herbert making, around 52 and a half a year?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that
almost
right.
53, yeah.
Joey Bosa's going to hit 54, somewhere around there, despite whatever happened today and his injury.
Just a calf strain. He's good.
Good go, which is good. I don't want to see anybody go down like that. But either way, I would disagree with you both. I think that Micah is probably the next big thing. I think they have to get a Dak deal done almost immediately. Next year, he's going to be a $59 million cap hit. If they don't do something, and I think that this is going to be done now rather than they've learned their lesson not to drag their feet. As you both were saying about Micah, I think they got to do that with Dak. If they wait around long term and some of these other quarterbacks start getting signed, he's going to get another deal. I don't see him. He may do a little bit of the hometown thing. I just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he's going to look at himself and say, this is probably my next and only contract that's going to be big here.
To touch on that hometown discount thing, I mean, you're looking at Dak, and if he really, if the importance of his career to him is more or less, I want to win Super Bowls.
Sure.
I mean, you look at another guy who took discounts to do that, Tom Brady, right over the course of his career, ton of success, mm-hmm. but he took way less than he probably ever deserved to win Super Bowls. That's what's important to him. So I guess that more or less you're going to find out what's important to Dak. Is it going to be winning, or is it going to be making money?
I think you also have to look at Tom Brady was a far different in the fact that Tom Brady had won several Super Bowls. He also was married to a woman that was making a tremendous
more money,
amount.
Yeah, Dak's money significant other may not.
So I know that Dak has got generational wealth, and it's about winning. But I think for him, he knows that. And we can touch on this later if you want, that this is a make-or-break year for him. I really do believe in so many, in the way that the franchise looks at him. I mean, NFL already is going to come down on him, but I really do think that this is – I don't think he's got a lot of excuses anymore. I don't really know. So this – to me, I think this would be why his guys are saying we need to get something done now to get in front of the market. I think the team would say that as well, so they can control it. Instead of, you know, gambling on this season almost in a franchise tag way. So I don't know. I think the Dak deal gets done second. CD, I think that is
CD, you can wait because it's the fifth year, yeah.
The same thing, I know we talked about the holdout, Zach Martin. Either one of you guys concerned. I think this is just a semantics. I don't really think that there's any bad blood here, and he's going to hold out for much longer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too concerned. I mean, I think we all think that Zach Martin will be starting for your Dallas Cowboys week one. So if everybody thinks that, and that's kind of been the feeling around a lot of the media there in Oxnard already. So I'm not really worried. I mean, like, is it kind of a bummer that we're having this weird thing where it's like, all right, shouldn't we have already kind of gone to the table, got this worked out?
It is surprising it got here.
It is surprising because, I mean, you know, should he be making, you know, should he be the highest paid guard? I know that everyone said he is the best at his position, but remember, he's also 32, right? The other guy who's the highest paid at that position right now is what, like early 20s?
20, yeah, 26.
Yeah, so that, like, you were going to get paid less in your 30s. That's just how it is. So go from about 13 to 14 a year to what, 17 to 18, cool, make him a happy guy, up that salary, maybe shorten the deal a little bit too because he's 32, so maybe we actually pay him a little bit more and maybe don't pay him for as long, maybe even. But, and, I mean, ultimately, he'll play for the Cowboys.
And that's the thing. This is probably his twilight of his career.
Yeah,
so
his last big
he's
one.
Definitely,
yeah.
No, this is his last contract. Any kind of concern here that Zach Martin – I don't know. He's one of those guys that he's just a stalwart. You don't really kind of take him for granted sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, offensive linemen are often taken for granted.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
The bit.
I mean, the number, if I'm not mistaken, for him is rank-wise, he's like ninth highest paid guard in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I know Madden's just Madden, but he is the only 99 overall guard in the game. So,
and man, he changed his Twitter profile
That.
So that's,
I mean, he's proud of it. He
it
should
matters.
Be. I mean, it's it's an honor, man.
He's solid.
I don't know if it gets you into the Hall of Fame, but it's certainly helps. But no, Zach Martin, you could argue, is probably pound for pound the best offensive player for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, obviously, he doesn't play a sexy position like wide receiver, running back, or quarterback, but you got to pay this guy. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's going to be in your Ring of Honor one day. You want to try to get him a ring, but you could probably restructure this season and give him a few more million dollars just to make him happy.
Yeah.
I think overall both sides do want to come here with good faith. It's just the Cowboys probably forgot, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He's been such a non-issue for us for so long that we've been trying to figure out Dak, and we got Diggs out of the way. We got Micah.
And he's a good soldier, so he's not been...
This wasn't something we've been talking about the entire offseason. This really did just crop up within the last week as far as the media attention side.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, what were Martin's people, how were they talking about this?
Yeah.
Were they making it seem like, look, we're going to do this? I don't know.
Are the Cowboys surprised?
Yeah, you kind of wonder behind the scenes, draw back the curtain a little bit, what was going on. I did want to switch a little bit on this one to talk about camp itself. And I hope that I'm not putting anyone on the spot tremendously, but I did want to know what you guys thought was the biggest question mark coming into camp for you for the Cowboys. Was there a question that you thought, I want to see or know this by the time they at least get out of Oxnard and then come back to Texas and then we can go from there. But is there something that I was hoping might be answered, I guess, is the question.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'll start with you, Dylan, if you have one. Is there something that you're like, what's question number one for me, ranking number one in your book? I'm sure you have several, but
I do.
What was the number one at least?
I do have several, and it's actually not even here on my to actually pull back the curtains. It's actually not even here on my computer, but honestly, I've been talking about it a lot, and I know it's not a position that gets really any shine or whatever, but like, I was worried about the kicking position for the Cowboys like a month ago, and like, I'm still worried about that position. I mean, at the end of the day, like, that is the player on your team that will technically score the most points for you pretty much every single season. The top five highest scorers of all time in the NFL are all kickers. And so we're kind of going into the season being like, oh, well, Tristan Vizcaino and that USFL guy we got, Aubrey, like, we're just assuming they're going to be cool. And look, like the Aubrey guy, cool story, actually former MLS player, so as a soccer fan, love that, but cool stories don't make field goals. So I am kind of worried that they just kind of seem to be like,
you know,
not concerned about that
I'm
position
glad
at all.
You brought that up because I wouldn't have thought that you were going to say that.
Here,
all these games, how many of them come down to 3 points?
So I'm saying they're all so close.
And how many teams, like you, how many games have the Ravens won? Because Justin Tucker has been their kicker. And I'm talking 60 yards out. That is
highest
such
paid
a
for
big
a
advantage. Big advantage for that. And so, yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
I mean, what are we going to do?
Now you're making me more scared. I'm like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. So what was it? What's a big question for you?
I guess more or less, it's what does the offensive line look like? I mean, I feel like it's been my big point of emphasis for most of the offseason.
So thin.
Huh?
They're thin. I mean, why.
Yeah. You've got Terrence Steele, who, as far as reports, have been very mixed on whether his health is going to be good or where he's at as far as his rehab. At some points during the offseason, there were reports he was great and he was ahead of schedule. And then it feels like it was kind of walked back later. So you've got a couple of questions in regards to the offensive line, and that absolutely has a huge impact on how the Cowboys are going to prepare for week one of the regular season. Is Tyron Smith going to be able to sit out left at left tackle as intended? Is Terrence still going to be there at right tackle? Is Tyler Smith going to be playing guard, or is he going to be, you know, Swiss Army knife somewhere else, right? I mean, you've got a lot of questions there. You've only addressed it one time, as far as I can remember, this offseason, the drafting of Asim Richards out of UNC in the fourth round. Who's kind of in between physically, 6'4". He could probably play interior if the coaching's right.
A little short-armed.
So, yeah, my biggest question is still going to be that offensive line. That's what we're, at least in my eyes, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and I'm a Cowboys fan, don't forget, like, this is a very thin group. You've got question marks at the most pivotal spots, which, in my opinion, are probably the tackle spot.
Yeah, both of them.
You just don't know what it's going to look like week one.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, and I don't know if this was reported today, but Tyler Smith is saying that he's taking most of his reps at guard.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that means you would think that Tyron Smith is going to be the left tackle again, and then that Terrence Steele is okay at the right tackle. So I don't know, again, if that answers anything, but that's one of the things that I was worried about, and obviously we expect Martin to be there, but I think the really, when it comes to the line, that Tyron Smith scares me. I just don't.
Yeah, how could you not be?
He's showing his age. I do think they have some. I think his name is Bass. I can't remember.
Ball, maybe? Josh
no, not
Ball.
Ball. He's a guard, and I don't have any faith in that guy. But I'm talking, there was somebody that I think was out of NC State or North Carolina that they.
Bell, you are right. You are right. Yeah.
And so I think he's going to be a good backup, or he can be a capable backup, but he's a project. So my would come down to Jalen Tolbert.
Mm-hmm.
That was my question. Is he going to be anything? We saw him drafted in the third round last year. The Cowboys were high on him. I mean, looking at his tape of South Alabama, he looked like a world beater. I look at the offseason, I always get a little nervous about looking at these Twitter workouts. And these guys, of course, they look great. They're sweating in the sun and, oh, they're putting in work. But from all I've heard from Dak and everyone, he's looked great. But I'm hearing about this Crooper kid. Jalen Crooper. I know it's a hyphenated name, but he's out of Fresno State, and all the highlights I'm seeing. Again, I hate doing.
Was he the seventh round pick?
He was undrafted.
Undrafted. Yeah.
And so brought in. He's 6 foot. He's 175 pounds. Runs a 4.3. The guy's got wheels, and he was in all everything from Fresno State, and he's turning a few heads here in Dallas Cowboy camp. So I'm wondering what that fourth position is going to look like. Fourth receiver, that is. And then what does that mean for the fifth guy? Is Simi Fehiko?
Yeah, is he the guy?
Is he cut now? Or is Crooper, would they really extend something to Crooper?
Or Jalen Brooks?
Yeah.
It feels like almost certainly our fourth receiver, their first name will be Jalen, right?
Jalen.
We've got Jalen Brooks,
yeah.
Jalen Monroe Crooper, and Jalen Tolbert, and Simi Fehiko. So I mean, three out of four.
Yeah.
We know those first name will be Jalen for sure.
I'll say this much. It's not a bad problem to have a lot of good receivers. So, I mean, if anything, for the Cowboys and Cowboys Nation, you got to be very optimistic about this receiving group coming in.
Oh, this is last year. Remember, the receiving group was, everyone was like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. James Washington was brought in, and he went down, I think,
early.
Like early training camp.
Second or third day of practice. Yeah. He went out, broke his foot, never came back. And then we didn't have anything. Michael Gallup wasn't really Michael Gallup.
Worst season's had.
So now we got Brandon Cooks. Looks like Gallup, they're trying to move him in the slot a lot early on. So I just like that fourth receiver because I thought the Cowboys were at their best offensively a couple of years ago when they had Amari Cooper, Gallup, CD, and then they had Cedric Wilson was their fourth guy. And when Gallup did go down for a few games, Cedric just filled right in wonderfully. And then was it Malik Turner, their fifth receiver. He ended up getting a deal with San Francisco, never turned anything, but he did well when he was able to step in. So the more, like you said, the more receivers that you have, the better in this league. Is there a guy that you're most interested to see in camp that's new? Is it a Brandon Cooks? So like what they do with him? Maybe a Deuce Vaughn. I've seen. Now again, this is all video, but boy, that overshown guy from Texas seems
fast.
to be like he's ready to take someone's head off. So,
I mean, for me, it's one of my favorite players in the entire NFL over the last like real decade, Stephon Gilmore. I really want to see how that cohesion works between him and Diggs. Obviously, Diggs is going to be your number one guy. He's getting paid like it, as he should be. Gilmore, former defensive player of the year. I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the entire NFL. I'm really excited to see how effective both of those outside corners, potential shutdown guys, man, like really affect how they go up against some of these other NFL offenses. There's so many talented receivers that the Cowboys are going to be up against this year. Having both islands pretty much locked up, dude, it's going to be disgusting.
Oh,
and
exciting.
They talked about Diggs. Diggs talked about that a little bit. He knows that he's not going to get the chances that he did so many times because, you know, Gilmore's on the other side. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. And both of them are aware of each other. And already they seem to be drawn to one another. That's awesome to see. Player that you would like to see or that you're most interested in seeing with the Cowboys that's new to the scene?
Well, I will say just to glom on to that really quickly, you know, we've been hearing, and once again, this is just looking at Twitter and looking at people who are already in Oxnard and seeing what they have to say, but it seems like Gilmore has almost taken Diggs under his wing. And I mean, he's literally like to the point where apparently Gilmore is giving him like workout and dietary advice. I mean, literally, like, this is when you need to wake up in the morning. And so, like, we might see Diggs go to another level. And so it's just what you're getting from Gilmore is so much more than just a really, really good corner, which he currently is. You're getting this guy who's going to, like, propel your guy who you just signed to a big deal into his next level. But for me, I have two guys. So one, Deuce Vaughn, for obvious reasons, right? Because he's Deuce Vaughn. He's exciting. The videos of him in camp wearing the foam helmet at 5'5".
It looks bigger than him.
It's a trip, man. He is so small. And I'm just a kind of paint a picture here. I'm only 5'7", and so I've been kind of a short guy my whole life. Always root for short guys. I was on the Kyler Murray hype train until I just couldn't stay on anymore. So, I mean, I want to see Deuce Vaughn. I think that's really exciting. But one thing, and the other person is, when are we going to see Luke Schoonmaker? Aren't we a little worried about Luke Schoonmaker, who's supposed to be our starting tight end, essentially, right? And he's injured at the start of training camp.
It's in the pup, and the latest that we know right now is that they hope to see him sometime in camp. And remember, camp in Oxnard only lasts 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it's only a couple weeks, yeah.
It's not the whole training camp. And so hopefully he can get back out there, or at least out there in general to show him something. But, yeah, I share your concern there a little bit. But I do want to say, for me, it is that overshown. I think, going back to questions that we had about different positions, I know the offensive line was mine. But still, I still think that the second group of guys that you have to worry about because of the thin nature of it, linebacker.
Fair.
I mean, you've got Van Der Esch.
And he's one note. That's the problem, too.
Yeah, Damone Clark, which you hope is going to make a big jump. Jabril Cox, that's been all over the place.
I mean, I guess that kind of reinforces where we were at the beginning of the podcast, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the lack of significance that linebackers play that you mentioned earlier. I mean,
they're almost safeties.
Yeah, exactly.
You see that Devin Harper that we drafted from Oklahoma State a couple of years ago. Is he going to finally take? And then Overshown, he's kind of that tweener. So I'm interested to see what they, again, early on looks great, but I'm interested to see what they have in that guy. Well, the one thing I wanted to mention, and you brought this up, I think, about Gilmore and Diggs, and this is something that every single player has said, and I think this is the best, most positive thing coming out of the Cowboys camp. They love each other.
Yeah.
This is a tight-knit group of guys that really feel. Dak just took him to Georgia, 17 guys, and he said, we worked on football, but we got out on the water. We talked to some Navy SEALs. We bonded. I can't tell you what that means for a team. I've as long as I've been a Cowboy fan, I've never heard them talk this way about that team unity that they had. And I really credit a lot to Mike McCarthy for that. He does stuff like that all the time. Garrett never did. So that's real optimistic for me going into camp. And I want to bring one more question to you because this kind of popped up. This has nothing to do with the Cowboys, but it has to do with one of the Cowboys' favorite coaches, Sean Payton, making certain comments about the New York Jets. First of all, he said something about his own team that Russell Wilson was probably under the worst coaching the league has ever seen, which is a real shot to Hackett, who he's taken over for. But he also talked about the Jets, that they won the offseason, but they'll never win anything this season. He made that call. So we can go with him if they want. Is there a team that you see that is going to have a real fall to earth this season that may be getting a lot of hype? It's just, wow, I don't really think that team's going to don't think they're going to do it quite like people are saying they are. Is there a team for you? Got one in mind?
You know, I do, and it actually kind of has very little to do with, I think ABC player is overrated, and a lot more to do with this league is so quarterback-driven, and, I mean, how could you, as a consumer of football, come into this season and not feel shaky about the Dolphins? I mean, they're extremely talented, but, I mean, let's be honest. Tua Tagovailoa might never play football again, and I'm not laughing about that. I'm laughing about something else. I'm not being trite here.
Not being trite.
The Dolphins, I mean, for one, is Tua going to get hit in the head one more time and literally never even play again? Two, Jalen Ramsey probably won't be back till halfway through the season.
That was breaking news today.
Yeah, that
hurt.
Broke today. Yeah, we're recording on Thursday, July 7th. So, I mean, it has to be the Dolphins. I mean, that has to be the team. I mean, maybe you could say the Giants, who we've said before that we think they overperformed. I think the Giants did. But I don't think anybody's going into this year expecting, like, the Giants to have double-digit wins or something crazy. But everybody has a lot of hype around the Dolphins. And, like, to me, that could be, like, maybe like a team that even misses the playoffs, maybe. Yeah.
It's a packed AFC.
It's a packed AFC, and I mean, it's just like your quarterback is important, and Tua is a glass cannon, essentially. So, I mean, I'm not a Dolphins fan. I think they have cool colors, and I like Tua because he's left-handed, which I am too, and I want good things for them, but, I mean, obviously I'm worried for them.
And obviously Jalen Ramsey just went down with an injury.
Yes.
Like the day we recorded this.
And I just said that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I guess in the confusion, because there was a little bit of a chuckle happening, because that was exactly what I was going to say. But I'm going to go in a different direction. I want to be genuine here, but I do think the Minnesota Vikings.
Of course.
They won, I want to say, out of the, 13 games they won last season, I want to say 11 of those were by
a margin of less than four
points or something of that nature. Their defense, I think, is going to take a step forward this year. I really think Flores is going to be you have to be better than they were last year. Their defense was
terrible,
bottom of the league in like pretty much everything. But they had a really terrible running game last year. Their offensive line was awful. I don't know if you guys have seen that Netflix quarterback documentary, but I felt really bad for Kirk Cousins by the end of it. I don't know how he is walking. Mm-hmm. I would say the Minnesota Vikings, obviously Rodgers is not in the division anymore, but the Detroit Lions actually look kind of interesting going into this upcoming season. They've got a pretty interesting offense for sure. I think that's the team that's going to be pushing them for the division title.
I look at a lot of teams with the questionable quarterbacks. When you just have a question at quarterback, everyone looks at the 49ers and says, wow, this team is this and this and this. Who's going to play quarterback for them? And we all say Brock Purdy, but again, Brock Purdy was thrown in at game 8, 9, 10. I don't even – he didn't play that long a season, and he didn't light up anything. He just didn't make a lot of mistakes.
Good soldier.
Let's see what happens. What are they going to do with Trey Lance? They were so high on this guy, and they also must not think very highly of either one of those guys because they brought in a guy named Sam Darnold who's been around.
He's been lighting it up in camp, apparently.
Yeah. So what are they going to do there? None of those guys necessarily inspire me a whole bunch. And so in this league, when you don't have a quarterback that is consistent, you're going to struggle. It doesn't matter what you have around it. That's the most important position. And so you can sign all the wide receivers and you can have the best offensive lineman in the game. You can do whatever you want. If you don't have a guy that's going to get the ball to the people that he has to get it to at the right time, you're in trouble. I like their scheme there. I like Shanahan's scheme. But again, who's going to do it? And until I get that question, I think the 49ers could be a team that a lot of people are shaking their head at, and to a lesser extent, I would say the Philadelphia Eagles. I think when you I'm a little older than you guys, just a little bit, and I have always remembered that the NFL is always full of the team that's going to win the Super Bowl. It's got the greatest off season, and every year there's one team that's hyped, and we can go back 10 years and probably look at them and see what did those teams really do. Very few of them went to the Super Bowl. Maybe one or two won it. But most of the teams, in all honesty, crashed and burned for whatever reason, injuries or whatever. But most of the time, it's because people overplayed it. Jalen Hurts has had one good season out of three. Now he's going into his fourth. You've got rookies that they're really hoping will plug the holes of tried and true veterans that they lost. They're talented rookies, but we don't know. We haven't seen them. We don't know what they're going to do. I wasn't impressed with that defense last year anyway because they sacked a lot of people, but they sure as hell gave up a lot of points. And so we'll see. I think the team, though, that I think is for the biggest fall could be the San Francisco 49ers or the most, at least at this point, overrated.
I'm sure the Cowboys and their fans are certainly hoping that's the case.
Yes. I hope both of those teams are garbage.
That's what I want.
Yeah. I hate
all
both
right,
of those
this
teams.
This is this week's America's Team. I'm Austin York. That's Tristan Rines. Dylan Reed also joining us. We will be back for week two of the Cowboys training camp. What has transpired? I guarantee a lot. Until then, have a good one.